Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is Hemant.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast.
Yep.
If you like what you're listening to, go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. And at least for the next few weeks, while we're doing our fundraiser for Queer Disbelief,
yeah,
the book we interviewed Camille earlier, please go to kickstarter.com and just type in Queer Disbelief. You'll find the book. Please support that project. Thank you so much.
Hurry up before Hemant falls asleep. He's such a sleepy boy.
I'm very tired right now. Did you know, infants don't just sleep for 8 hours a night?
Wait, why? What are they doing all day?
Dude, no one knows, but they're just always awake.
No, so I can relate to it because I have a puppy, and sometimes she, scratches the door in the middle of the night. So, sometimes I wake up, once a night, sometimes twice. Oh, what a nightmare.
But I hate you so much.
But they're so cute, you know, makes up for it.
I mean, if they weren't cute, then
You know the things I like about my dog? She makes eye contact with me and acknowledges my existence. How's your baby?
Looking around, trying to figure out who the hell I am.
Okay, let's talk about atheist shit. Dude, this week has been fucking rough.
Oh, man. There's politics, there's lawsuits, there's fun stories all around.
Yeah.
Here's one that has nothing to do with any of that, but I found
perfect for this podcast.
I found it amusing because it involves our friend Matt Walsh, who you had mentioned before. He was the guy,
a conservative
Christian.
Matt Walsh, the douchebag, not the cool comedian, who, did you see this? He and I went to high school together. We didn't go to high school together. He tweeted at me.
So we're
basically best friends.
You were best friends on the Veep guy.
Yes.
Matt Walsh, the conservative Christian, is the guy who complains about everything that is nice.
But Hemant, he has tattoos, so he's cool.
Oh, yeah, he has tattoos. Therefore, that makes him like a rebel. So here's what he did. He has, I think, 3 kids, and he has a wife, and they said, at their local library, there was a college group that was performing The Wizard of Oz, I believe. I don't know what I'm talking about. Little Red Riding Hood is what they were going to do. It's the same thing. It involves a girl character. So they were going to go to the library to watch Little Red Riding Hood, the performance. It's a good time, right? It's just locally. It seems fine.
Wolf Grandma eats. It's vor.
It's all good. The wife goes there with the kids in advance, and Matt's on his way there. And I guess the wife calls him up and says something like, "You will never believe this. Little Red Riding Hood is being played by a man."
A man? So like a 45-year-old bearded fella?
All I heard is when Matt wrote about this, let me see.
Matt, our close personal friend.
Here's what Matt wrote. "My wife called me a few minutes after arriving to report that a, quote, grown man, introduced as Zelda, had come out and dragged to play Little Red Riding Hood. This is part of a very long rant Matt complaining about, like, you know, how dare they try to impose something on the kids."
And
I guess
also,
he thinks
Zelda's a woman's name.
I guess he thinks if the kids watch an actor play a man play Little Red Riding Hood, they will magically turn transgender.
I think that's what he thinks is gonna happen. Is really, really it's contagious is what it is.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you know,
I didn't know that's he said this is an effort. It's part of the persistent effort to push transgenderism on kids.
No, you know what? I'm glad he caught on because it was so exhausting keeping up this ruse.
I thought we had hidden that part of the gay agenda.
Substituting one gentleman for every. Okay, keep talking to me about this really dumb story.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because we're not done yet.
Of course we're
so
not.
He, I mean, he has this long rant on Facebook. Here's the big part of it. I'm so tired of this. Why can't my kids just go to the library and watch Little Red Riding Hood without it being turned into a drag show? Why can't these people leave my kids alone? He chose to go to this play, by the way. Have whatever absurd sexual ideology you want, but stop trying to indoctrinate my children into it, says a Christian. Just leave them alone, damn it. And if you do decide to drag them into your world of moral insanity and sexual confusion, don't think I'll just sit by and remain silent.
You're so brave, Matt Walsh. Mm-hmm.
You can look at me like I'm crazy, as this manager did, but you know what you're doing, and so do I. Stop it, or at least have the guts to admit to your agenda. This is not even half of his little rant here. But here's the thing.
You know when people talk about how, like, liberals are the snowflakes that are offended by everything?
He's offended by an actor acting.
The nerve. Okay, yeah.
Here's what happens. He posts this, and someone brings my attention to it. A reader says, like, you should check out this post. And I'm like, it's Matt Walsh complaining. This is not news.
That's sort of his whole
That is his
jam.
Shtick. But one of the comments underneath that post, which had generated thousands of comments and all these shares and all of that, it came from a woman who said, I'm the mother of the actor who played Little Red that day. And she said he was acting in that role because the real actress was sick. He was the only person who could be her understudy. Maybe he's the only one who knew her lines. And that was it. He's a nice kid.
Hey,
this had nothing to do with an agenda.
Matt
he just
Walsh,
wanted to put a smile on some kids' faces.
You're fighting that good fight. You're so brave.
By the way, Matt also said when he dragged his kids out of the show before they could, like, become transgender, I guess.
Sure.
They were crying. They didn't want to leave. They wanted to watch the play because they're kids. That's what they wanted. The mother, the mother says, we agree on one point. I, too, am very sorry your children had to be dragged out crying from a show they didn't want to leave.
I love that he's the hero in this story.
The mother goes on, thank you for sucking the joy out of the day and turning the hard work of a group of young adults dedicating their personal time without pay into, quote, something you have decided is awful instead of the wonderful community outreach that it was intended to be.
Does this woman have a name, and can we name check her?
Her name is Laura Blum. Reached out to her.
It's Laura Blum. That's an excellent name.
I reached out to her. She didn't respond, but I was trying to figure out, like, is this just a random person saying this? Because, like,
don't care. Still like her.
But here's the thing. I found confirmation because her son had posted his own thing.
Oh.
Saying, this is how the mother got a hold of the post, Matt Walsh's post. The son, whose name is Ben, said, you know, today I performed as an understudy in this show.
I'm sorry, just quickly, can you give me, like, an age range? Are we talking, like, teenager?
Oh,
or, like,
yes.
Adult?
Yes, I can.
Oh, thank you.
20.
Okay.
He's 20. He says, apparently someone was really offended by the fact that I was willing to take time and effort to make sure their children got to see the show. This goes on to say, no one is trying to push any agenda on you, no matter how misguided your views are. I guess next time we'll just cancel the show so you don't have to go through the horror of seeing an actor pretend to be a woman.
Oh, I love these people so much.
My
also,
God. Matt Walsh, by the way, didn't respond to any
of this. Oh, you don't fucking say.
And it's not like he didn't know. Like, but people were drawing his attention to these comments. He didn't say a damn thing. He hasn't apologized to Laura. He didn't apologize to Ben. He didn't apologize to the cast, the librarians, who, by the way, he chastised afterwards
for
pushing this agenda. He didn't apologize to his kids, I assume.
So, all right. You know what they say about assuming. Ass or something.
Yeah.
Hey,
I hope Ben is okay.
I have a dumb
question.
He
did a nice thing, yeah.
Is there enough in Little Red Riding Hood to make a whole play out of?
Oh, yes. Yes, there is. You just drag out the scenes. It's all good.
I just mostly know Into the Woods.
It's another story of another conservative Christian just
into the woods
whining
to grandmother's house.
About nothing.
No, it's fucking garbage. It is this sort of mentality that they have of, it's so reflective of, oh, millennials or liberals or whatever are so offended by literally everything. And they're like, oh my God, a dude is wearing a cape. Like, protect the children. It's a public library.
And by the way, one thing I, when I was reading through these comments, one of the things Ben, the actor who played Little Red, whose name is Zelda in the play, by the way, that's where that came from. I guess they give her a name in this version. She's Zelda.
Zelda?
I don't know. But one of the things they pointed out was that Ben, the actor, he knew he looked kind of funny playing Little Red Riding Hood,
but he's an actor.
It? Yeah, he joked about it.
Sure.
He didn't say this, but it's the sort of thing. He's like, I'm Little Red. I guess I didn't shave today. That sort of thing where you're making fun of your own. I know kids. This doesn't look right.
I mean, there's better jokes to be had.
I know. But like, no, he's calling attention to the fact that I'm a guy who's playing Little Red today because the real one couldn't be here today. He was having fun with it.
I guess I just don't. And that's such an instance of, like, kids are really fucking flexible. Kids roll with the punches pretty well.
Yeah, none of the kids were protesting this.
Exactly. Matt Walsh. Hey, Matt Walsh. You're the worst. Matt Walsh, comedian.
Not you.
Not you. You're cool. Thanks for tweeting at me. Hey, we were on the same stage once.
Nicely done.
Yeah, he was a Hinsdale South graduate, and he tweeted back at me twice.
I think he said, like, go mascot, whatever your mascot
was. He said, go Hornets.
Nice.
And then I sent back a really cute picture of when I was a senior in Once Upon a Mattress, which is a very, very, very good musical and not dumb at all. And I was wearing a very flattering and good costume.
Way to flirt. Way to flirt on Twitter.
Listen, I don't want to brag, but Matt Walsh and I had one interaction. So.
Nicely done. Arizona has this Senator Jeff Flake.
Uh-huh.
Jeff Flake is a Republican. He's voted with Donald Trump and the GOP like all of the time.
There's a joke to be made about his name.
There's so many jokes to be made. And he also wrote a book recently where he kind of said, you know, I'm better than the rest of the Republicans because I'm willing to hear out Democrats. And I think we've gone too extreme.
Oh, you're so brave.
Exactly. And so
what's his book called? Like United We Stand or something generically patriotic?
It's probably called Flake because it's appropriate. So this guy tries to put himself as like the more liberal or the more appealing,
moderate.
The more moderate type of senator. But voting wise, no, he's not. And the problem with that,
generally,
yeah, he's more than 90% of the time. He votes with the GOP. He voted with the GOP on all the healthcare repeal votes and all that stuff that got attention.
Really chill of him.
So here's the thing. He is a reliable conservative, but he's not as openly conservative as some people want him to be. Like,
would you say he's flaky about his conservatism? Guys, did you hear that funny joke? Guys,
that was hilarious.
Guys, hey, Hammond, did you get it?
Unfortunately.
Keep going.
So, he's going to run for re-election in 2018. Now, the problem with that is because he is openly kind of critical of Donald Trump and what the GOP is doing, there's a good chance like a far right-wing candidate will try to win in the primary.
All the way around, yeah.
Yeah, they want to get rid of him and get someone even more conservative in his place.
He doesn't hate gay people enough.
Exactly. And the thing is, we're seeing that happen right now in Alabama because Luther Strange is a senator. He's one of the most conservative ones in the Senate. But here comes Roy Moore, who we'll talk about in a little bit, who is like openly, I want a theocracy.
Yeah.
Gay people are horrible. It should be illegal for you to be in a gay relationship and do anything.
But also Sharia law is a huge threat.
Right. So Roy Moore just got rid of a pretty reliable Republican in the Senate. And now the question is, will he actually win the seat? Democrats may want to fight it.
Sure.
They might have a chance because Roy Moore might be too much for a lot of moderate Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, going back to Arizona, if you get rid of Jeff Flake in the primaries with someone even more conservative, Arizona's a different state.
Sure.
Arizona, the demographics are shifting in the Democrats' favor.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a decent candidate out there who can win over a lot of those moderate voters, you could take that seat.
Yeah.
And for the Democrats to get a seat in the Senate, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So who just threw her hat in the ring to be that senator from the Democratic side? It is this House member, Kyrsten Sinema.
Okay.
She's been there.
Such a dope name, yeah.
It's an awesome name, and good luck spelling Kyrsten. She won in 2012. That's when she became a U.S. House member, so this is her third term right now. And what's really interesting about her is if you look at the list of all the religions of people in Congress right now, all 535... of them, all of them are religious or they don't answer the question.
Like, okay.
With one exception. There's one member of Congress.
Heaven, who is it?
You'll never guess. Who is unaffiliated. She just doesn't list. Not only does she say, I will answer your question, and her answer is, I don't have any religious, yeah, organized religious affiliation. That's Sinema. So she's the only one right now who has no organized. So that's interesting.
No, that's great.
And it seems like when she threw her hat in the ring, a lot of Democrats were like, oh man, she could actually win this thing because she's not someone you could paint as an extremist.
Sure.
A liberal extremist, if you will. She's someone who actually has a reputation for being bipartisan in the House. Mm-hmm. And I know to some liberals, that's a dirty word right now. And I'm going to read to you from the Christian Science Monitor, because they actually talked about how conservative she is in certain ways. She's a blue dog Democrat. She works with fiscally conservative ones. She likes a bigger military. Hmm? She wants, yep, a bigger military. She's endorsed by the Chamber of Commerce. So there's that. Now, she's liberal on abortion.
Bigger military, which is
usually a conservative thing because we already have a big military. But she's pretty good on all the social issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm sure you Democrats aren't going to be thrilled because she has some flaws in that regard. But in terms of winning the moderates, you might want, like, if you're a Republican, you can't call her legitimately, say she is like on the far left. She's not.
Yeah.
You can't say she's an extremist because she works with Republicans.
A flawed representative is better than Donald Trump. Sorry, that was a Hillary allegory.
Right.
Was that too subtle?
That's what you should be saying. Like, no, go ahead and criticize her, but she's still better than the GOP alternative. Mm-hmm. So here she is. She's going to run for the seat, and Democrats might actually have a shot at this one.
Yeah.
I mean, even if Flake survives the primary, they have a shot at this one. So that's a big deal. Now, I want to go over, like, something about Sinema, because this has been something that's been bothering me for about 6 years since she got into Congress.
Okay.
Because
as long as you're not hauling it up.
Hey, why not?
Let it out.
Here's my history.
Just
with
you and me here.
Sinema. When she was running for Congress in 2012, and she won that race. Before that, there was a little discussion among some atheists, like, is she an open atheist? We thought she might be, and we had some good reason for that.
And then she's not affiliated with a religion?
No. We didn't know she was unaffiliated.
Oh, okay.
She didn't say anything, because she never had to, because she was a state senator for a while, but, like, no one pays attention to that.
Sure.
So no one knew what's her religious affiliation in a public way. She got an award from the Center for Inquiry for the Advancement of Science and Reason in Public Policy.
Okay.
She showed up. She got the award. She was at the opening of the office of the Secular Coalition for Arizona. Like, she showed up to their housebreaking ceremony.
Kirsten, you seem chill as fuck.
Right. She's awesome. She's never talked about this, but a lot of websites you see, including my own, will cite people saying she's openly bisexual, which I don't care about, but hey, good for you for being open about that. All right. So she seems pretty open about some pretty private stuff, right?
Sure.
And then all these articles started coming out that, wow, an atheist is running for the seat for Congress.
She's not willing to take that A brand?
Well, that was the question. Like, will she say she is and just say, you know, but it's not a big deal because I represent everybody, because that's what you should do. Instead, when I know I emailed her campaign, several reporters emailed her campaign. This is the email I got from her spokesperson at the time. Kirsten believes the terms non-theist, atheist, or non-believer are not befitting of her life's work or personal character. Not befitting.
Okay.
As if, like, you're insulting me by insinuating that I'm any of those things.
Whatever.
Like, come on.
I mean,
it's annoying.
I'm very torn about things like that.
But you're with me that it's annoying.
Oh, Hammond.
Okay.
I'm annoyed by literally everything. This is chief among them.
Now.
But. I mean, I get it. Like, words mean things, right? Like, people choose labels very specifically, whether that's, oh, I'm not gay, I'm a lesbian, or I'm not lesbian, I'm queer, or I'm not. Words mean things, and I am not here to, like, assign this woman anything.
Right.
But
here's where I got annoyed by it.
But if you don't believe in a God, the appropriate label is atheist, and it's not. And it's not fair that you like moonwalk away from that kind of label because it's scary, right? Like,
that's what I felt she was doing.
Like,
she was running away. She was throwing us under the bus. It wasn't enough to say, I'm not an atheist.
Exactly what it is.
It's like, all of you have a problem. That sort of attitude.
I have heard human people to whom I am related say, oh, I don't believe in God, but I would never say I was an atheist. Like, it is still a stigmatized term.
Right. And one way to destigmatize it is for people in positions of power to say, I'm an atheist, but whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm still doing the right thing.
The way to destigmatize it was for me to yell into a microphone once a week.
So here's the thing. It doesn't ultimately matter if she's an atheist because for the most part, I support a lot of the stuff she does. And I'm so happy that she's in the House and I hope she wins the Senate seat. But symbolically, this is important. There are zero open atheists in Congress right now. We're like close to 40% of the U.S. population who have no religious affiliation. And she's the only one who openly says, yep, I'm religiously unaffiliated. And she won't even go that far if that's accurate. So that's a little annoying.
What's her demo? What's her? How old is she? Race? Any of those things?
That's a good question. I don't know her age. I'm guessing in her late 30s or early 40s.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's super young.
Oh, so she's young.
She's awesome. By the way, when she got elected in 2012, she is white. When she got elected, she put her hand not on a copy of the Bible when John Boehner swore her in. She put it on the Constitution.
Fuck,
she's
awesome, Kirsten, in that sense.
Good for her. I'm very curious if whoever wins this GOP primary, I wonder if they will use any of that against her, saying she's not religious enough. Something to keep an eye out for, especially if this is going to be a contested seat. Like, they're going to take this one seriously. So who knows? Now, I'm saying all of this. Last night, when she said she's announcing, I donated to her campaign as soon as I could. Because, again, I want her to win. I just feel the urge to point out that, I don't know, I know some atheists who are not very pleased that she's distancing herself. I would love it if she would just say it.
Can we talk about the Mr. Burns tent fingers that you just did?
Yes.
Yeah, this is why people think you're evil, Hemet.
That's accurate.
Not atheists in general, just you specifically.
So anyway, it's not a really big deal, but it's personal. It's personal.
To me, honestly, I align that most closely with when women are like, I believe in equal rights, but I'm not a feminist.
Yeah, why are you doing that?
It feels very pedantic.
The first half was all you needed. You didn't have to.
Do I sound really Chicago-y when I say pedantic?
Totally. Also, saying pedantic is probably pedantic.
First of all, how dare you? I have an excellent vocabulary. I've been arguing with people on Facebook all day.
Since we're talking about politics.
We're talking literally the whole time it's a podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Since we're talking about politics, let's talk about Roy Moore since we brought him up.
Oh,
so Roy Moore is now the GOP candidate.
I've worked so hard to distance myself from this.
Don't get to. None of us get to until he's defeated.
Okay, fine.
Talk about some of the things he believes. He is the GOP nominee for Senate. It's Alabama. The Republican has a good chance of winning the race. Just a quick recap here. Roy Moore is the guy who was Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court and in the middle of the night installed a Ten Commandments monument when no one was looking. Like a giant one in the Supreme Court building. They told him, get that out of here. You can't have it. It's illegal. He's basically said, F you. Jesus loves me. Didn't do it. So they're like, well, no, it's gonna go and you're gonna go. They basically kicked him out of his seat.
Honestly, the way you said that sounded like they murdered him.
They kicked him out of his seat. And then, like, a couple years later, he says, well, guess how you get to the Supreme Court? The people have to elect you to the Supreme Court in our state. I'm going to run again. And they voted him back in.
They're like, you know, we don't have enough of bigotry.
Yes. And then what did he do the second time he was Chief Justice? After the Obergefell ruling and gay marriage is legal?
Wait, can I guess?
Yes.
Did he install a second statue of the Ten Commandments?
I wouldn't be surprised if he did and no one noticed.
That wasn't even a good joke and I made myself laugh.
It's late. He told the probate judges in the state, if any gay couple comes to you and says, give me a marriage license, you can say no. You should say no. Like, dude, what are you doing?
Hey.
That is illegal.
Fuck.
This guy's in charge of the law. Hey. He doesn't even seem to care.
Fuck that garbage. Here's the thing. Hem it.
Yes.
Fuck that garbage.
But you can't because they're going to vote for this guy.
They're the same sex as me and I can't
that
fuck
too. Him. He has said things like, I want to make it illegal for gay men to sleep next to each other. He said 9/11 was caused by you, Jessica.
Okay.
Or godless people in general.
Hemant, I'm right here.
I know. Well, you did it.
Me, Jessica. Okay.
He said Keith Ellison, the Democrat Muslim from Minnesota, shouldn't be allowed to be in Congress because he's a Muslim. And the most recent thing is he did an interview with Vox, a reporter from Vox, who asked him, like, you said Sharia law is a thing. And he basically said, yeah, it is in a couple places in, like, Illinois, up in our neck of the woods here.
Sure.
And the reporter's like, where? And he's like, somewhere.
Oh, you know what?
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Dude.
I hate to report this, but like four of my neighbors are brown. So.
So Sharia's in your neighborhood right now is what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
That is what Roy Moore thinks.
And one of them. Hey, listen. One of them pets my dog every time she sees her.
God, these terrorists are very sneaky.
My God, what? What a world.
By the way, Doug Jones, the Democrat who is the nominee running against Roy Moore now, you know what he did? He defended like four murdered people on their behalf against the KKK members who killed them. He tried to put them behind bars. That's how awesome this guy is. And yet he's probably going to lose the race because he's not bigoted enough to win over all these Alabama conservatives.
You know, I love you so much, but also I'm not sure exactly what you said. He defended whom?
He sought justice on behalf of four murdered girls who died at the hands of KKK members.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He prosecuted the terrorist KKK people. That's what that guy does.
I prefer white nationalists.
Yes. That's what he did. And yet, he's not winning right now. That should be like a slam dunk. But in Alabama, that's not. They're like, oh, he fought against the terrorists?
Sure.
I don't know about this guy.
Can we have like a super quick high-level conversation?
Go for it.
With regard to... So, you know, everybody thinks that the moment they're living in is like the most like batshit bonkers crazy thing that's happening.
Yes.
So, say... God forbid I listen to this back in 15 years. Ugh. God help us all. Are we just living in one of those moments of like, oh, everybody says every moment in the entire world is like the crazy thing? Are we actually living in the upside down? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I do think this is pretty bad. It's a different type of bad, though, because I remember having this type of conversation when George W. Bush was in office, too. But the issue there was bad decisions.
Right.
As opposed to every single person in government seems to be incompetent right now. Like everyone in the top administration in the White House has no clue what they're doing. That's not the conversation. The problem was they know what they're doing and they're doing really dumb, bad things. Mm-hmm. That's why liberals need to fight back. That's kind of the conversations I was hearing. And now it's, oh, we just lost Puerto Rico. Yeah. It's gone now. Like, that's a totally different type of everything's burning, not everything's okay. So I do think this is uniquely bad. And I'm not just saying that because, like, it's now.
That, I mean, yeah, that's the thing is I think so, too. But I also feel like I remember being in college and granted, I was, like, 20 and an idiot and was just like, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever. I don't know. I think so, so frequently about, you know, it's 2017 now, in 2047.
Yeah.
What are people going to be saying about this year? Like, and that's honestly one of the reasons that I'm very, like, I've done it as kind of a goof on the podcast before, but I'm like, hey, future, I thought Trump was a bad dude. Like, I really want to make sure we're on the record to be like, hey, guys, we're against this thing.
Oh, we tried to stop it.
We did our best. I just, I listen to a podcast called Call Your Girlfriend and Hillary.
Call Your Girlfriend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Call Your Girlfriend. Did I?
No, that's fine. What is it about?
It's such a long day. It's two women who, it's sort of this idea, but it's two women and they talk about like more feminism and racial politics stuff.
Okay.
And they had well, one of them interviewed Hillary last week, and I was like near tears the whole time because, God, she's a good fucking lady. Like, she's so smart, and she wanted the best. And
every now and then on Twitter, I'll see someone retweet. They'll retweet something where it's like an image. It's an email that Hillary once sent as Secretary of State to someone on her staff that said, "Hey, I met this girl somewhere at one of the things I was doing today who said, you know, she's really struggling to do this and maybe she's an immigrant or something. And can we do something to help this girl?" Like a random, this did not get any publicity when she actually did it because it was just a random email to her staffer. But it's like, oh yeah, that's what a good person's trying to do. And nope. Oh God, we've lost Jessica.
I struggle with shit like this because I genuinely believe that Hillary did want the best for the most people. And
actually knew how to do some of that stuff and know how to surround
it and
surround herself with people who could help.
Well, and knew like where Puerto Rico was and the fact that Puerto Ricans are Americans.
But did she know it's in the middle of the ocean? Because apparently Donald Trump just found that out. Anyway.
Here's the other fucking thing.
Please.
Listen, if we're going to record late at night, I'm going to go on rants. So I feel like I hear a lot of people talking about Hillary Clinton who does something good, and they always have to fucking couch it. Like, I'm no Hillary supporter, but XYZ. Like, hey, dude, you're so fucking brave for not being... Oh, thank you so much.
She's a flawed candidate, but I still support her.
Suck my fucking dick on this. She would have been such a good president. She would have been such an excellent president. Was she perfect? No. You know who else is super unperfect? Donald fucking Trump. And that's who our president is now. And now, like, my brother's best student is going to get fucking deported. Cool. Good job, guy. Good fucking job, guys. Really. Oh, you're no fan of Hillary? Cool. Call her Hillary again. That's super goddamn... That's super helpful and really up... No, I'm not done
keep
yet.
Keep going. I'm not talking yet.
I just... When you have a Hillary Clinton... And she is smart and well-spoken and has answers to things. And people's response to her is, A, her husband cheated on her. B, she has an annoying voice. I have an annoying voice and I have a fucking podcast. That's where I live my best life. Yeah, I'm going to wake up your baby, Hemant, because I'm mad.
Good.
Whatever.
Make you wait till bedtime.
Oh, my God. I'm still so fucking mad. I'm still so fucking mad because
I'm going to take the Tim Minchin approach here and say, because all the emails we get, they're like, you guys swear a lot on your show.
Oh my God.
If you're more upset about the F word than you are all the stuff we're talking about, like, no, you should be mad about Roy Moore. You should be mad about what Trump is doing. The four-letter words, that's not the problem here.
It's not. And it's, I don't know, you guys. It's something I literally struggle. And I might have mentioned this on the show before, but the shit people say about Hillary are things that could be leveled at me very easily. I have a very annoying voice. I am very outspoken. I am not deferential to my husband or men in general. And it's hard to have... God, we're almost a fucking year out. And I still think about it all the time of...
What could have been?
Not even... I mean, obviously, I think about that literally every day because Donald Trump is our president and it's my personal health. But I think about it every day of... The things that people say about Hillary, like the things that held Hillary back, is that what's going to hold me back in my career? Because I'm loud and outspoken and have a Midwestern accent.
Well, it's going to happen with the politics. There will be another woman who runs for president, and they're going to say the exact same stuff.
any woman, not this woman.
Right, right, right. It's all going to be the same stuff.
Because
it doesn't matter what her voice sounds like.
Who's running, it doesn't matter how outspoken she is. Fucking perfect. Whereas a man who's running could be Donald Trump. What the fuck? I mean, this has been a really rough year for me.
Join the club.
You have a human child, like.
Yeah, I have other things to look at, deal with.
I don't.
But it's rough if you actually care about other people.
And
people who are, you know, genuinely hurt. Like, I'm sure as far as people who are suffering under this administration goes, it's not me compared to other people.
Honestly, it's neither of us.
But when you want the best for them, mm-hmm. yes, this is really frustrating because you see what's happening and it's like, does anyone there know how to do stuff? Does anyone there have a heart? Doesn't yeah. seem like it. Nope. They're not in there for the right reasons.
I have been... Okay, so sometimes... You know how sometimes I don't make great decisions, Hammond?
What?
So sometimes my personal brand of self-care is that I argue with strangers on Facebook.
Oh, what are you doing?
You know me in comments. You know me in comments.
No, just do what I do and never post anything ever.
No, I can't. I'm obsessed with it. And the thing that's like really piqued my interest this week is the whole kneeling during the NFL kneeling during the national anthem. We talked about it last week, my super weird feelings RE the NFL in general. But the thing that I find fucking baffling is people are like, how dare they? Or this isn't their time or whatever. And I'm just like, I get it if you are like, I don't see racial injustice, even though I don't agree with them. Like, if you're a 50-year-old white dude, yeah, like, you probably never dealt with racial injustice. But to be like, this isn't the time to do it, or you're disrespecting the troops, like, come the fuck on.
I wish those same people would just say, here's when the appropriate time to protest is, because I would love to know that answer.
Because I've been marching in the streets, and that's wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay, Wait, can I do my one thing that
Go
I brought
for
to
it.
The table? It's my brother sent it to me. It's the dumbest thing ever.
I like where this is going.
Okay, so Hammond and I are based out of Chicago. If you are in Chicago on October 1st, I don't know if that's it. It's my birthday, though. And
Happy
this is what,
birthday.
Oh, yeah. And this is what I want for my birthday. Mark Wahlberg is going to be talking at the Catholic Church.
No.
Yeah.
That's awesome. There we go.
Actor Mark Wahlberg wants to help young Catholics in Chicago find their faith. He's among several speakers to take part at the Archdiocese of Chicago's Encounter Young Adult Faith Night.
So you're going?
No, it's my birthday.
That's your birthday present.
I'm going to drink wine all day. And
you could do that at church.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. I haven't been to Catholic church since like the last funeral I went to. I wish I could find out the day. Anyway, so if anybody's it's at the UIC Pavilion, 525 South Racine. Oh, that's a hike from Aurora, my friend. Anyway, so that's what Mark Wahlberg, did he at one point beat a man so badly that he lost vision in one eye, maybe two eyes, but certainly one eye? Yes. Is he a super excellent Catholic? Also super yes.
I see. This is news to me.
Yeah, so Mark Wahlberg's going to be at our neck of the woods.
You know who else is in town this weekend?
Me.
Ray Comfort talking about...
Ray?
Yep.
He sent me a basket of pears one time.
He did.
Those were actually really delicious pears.
He's in town too. Maybe they'll run into each other. Who knows?
Does Ray want to hang out with us?
No.
Why? Did you ask him?
He did text me.
Wait, what?
It wasn't related to the appearance. He was just checking in.
Hey, everybody, just stop, collaborate, and listen. You have Ray Comfort's phone number?
I do have his phone number. He'll occasionally text just to say hi, and I say hi back.
Look around, how lucky we are to be alive right now.
Nothing,
text him right now. Text him right now.
I'm not
say
texting
hey.
Him right
Tell
now.
Tell him say hey and thank you for the pairs a year ago.
I'm...
Okay, so Ray Comfort, I assume listeners know, but what?
He's around, I'm sure.
No, people
she'll
know.
Come to town.
He believes that bananas are the reason that evolution doesn't exist. And also, I slam-a-jammed one of his movies, and he sent me, he sent Hemant a basket of very delicious pears.
So he has my address,
like,
too.
Like, the most passive-aggressive pears I've ever had. But they were really good. Anyway, he doesn't want to hang out? He has mustache?
I'm going to assume he does not.
Oh, you know what they... This is the second time I said this, Hemant. You know what they say about assume.
So I've heard. I'm going to talk about Hugh Hefner. Only
oh,
about
good.
This.
Okay, I want to talk about him.
I don't really have much of an opinion on the guy himself. There's reasons to criticize him. He's done a lot for free speech, too. But yes, objectifying women, that's all bad. There's a lot to say about Hugh Hefner. I want to talk about something else, which is that after he died this week, I saw so many responses to his legacy, the columns and all that, written by evangelical Christians who said things about how he exploited women and how he encouraged immorality.
Oh, yeah, because Christians hate exploiting women.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the same people who said basically nothing about Donald Trump and who continue saying nothing, like even, I don't know if
or
they voted for
said,
him or they sat around while their friends voted for him. These are not the people who actively said, I'm going to vote for Hillary to stop this guy from getting into office. They didn't do that. But when Hugh Hefner dies, they're like, look at all this immorality that's around. How dare this man promote these ideas? Like, no. You don't get to trash Hugh Hefner when you have nothing bad to say about Donald Trump. That's it.
No, you're 100% right. And I was like trying to lock and load some clever bullshit to say, but it's very much the same as when Christian people, Christian men specifically, talk about, like, we need to protect women, we need to protect their virtue, and then women like walk up and like, hey, a dude grabbed me by the pussy, and they're like, well, why was your pussy so slutty, like, why were your Why was
what
your
were
pussy
you wearing? All that sort of stuff.
Why was your pussy in grabbing distance? It's this weird thing of this, we're protecting the virtuosity of women, or okay. Are you ready to take this journey with me?
Listening.
We, and by we, I mean, obviously, old rich white men.
Yes. Which is what we both are.
Both are so rich and white.
Yes.
It's this idea that they want to protect the platonic ideal of women. So there is this hypothetical woman who wears ankle-length skirts and high-necked shirts and has very modest hair and doesn't wear makeup. And if that specific woman gets, like, attacked, then she is somebody who is worth saving. But if you don't measure up to those things, then, like, fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, and I've talked about it before, and I will never stop talking about it because it's maybe, like, my A number one pet peeve. And God knows I have a lot of pet peeves. I'm an angry lady.
You're an angry old rich white man.
Well, I'm almost 32, so I'm almost super old. No, but this idea of like, oh, we need to protect women. And a woman's like, hey, I was raped. And they're like, not that way. we don't need to protect you specifically. I just think it's garbage and I hate everything.
That's a good segue.
Hey, Evan, is this a good podcast episode?
Are they ever? There is a lawsuit going on in Colorado and it involves this atheist high school student. She's a graduate now. She was a atheist high school student. Sydney Fisk. She attended the Delta County School District in Colorado.
I'm sorry. This episode
Delta
is
County.
A theme of like dope ass names because
Sydney Fisk. Spelled with a C because she's a badass.
F-I-S-C?
F-I-S-K.
Wait. So, oh, Sydney is spelled with a C.
Yes. So she's an awesome student. She graduated in 2016, I believe. Awesome GPA, captain of the speech and debate team at the school, student body treasurer, a vocal, outspoken student. Like, as a former high school teacher, you want that kid in your class. You want that kid in your student body because they kind of make everyone do awesome because you all want to be like her. You know what I mean? So she graduated in 2016.
And lived a really happy life and she's doing really super good.
That's why I'm talking about this. It turns out, okay, separate slight tangent. This is the same school district where at one point they just, the middle school in the district did a Bible giveaway. Like, they put all the Bibles on the table and said, take them if you want them.
Cool.
And the rule with that is, if you're doing that, you have to allow anyone to do that. And the Satanic Temple said, we have some coloring books.
God, Satanic Temple, bless y'all's heart. Yes. Like, so, you're doing God's work.
But it's the sort of district where seeing Bibles on a table in the middle school, that's not a weird thing
at
all.
This is Colorado?
Colorado. So here's what Sydney says, because she just filed a lawsuit against the district. And there's a lot of things here, and I'm going to go through them, and I'll go through them quickly. But, like, listen to the extent of how much religion there was in this school district, okay? This is what her lawsuit notes. Teachers openly discussed religion in class. They talked about church attendance in class. School board members did the same thing at meetings. One of them even talked about her Christian belief that, quote, transgender students should be castrated.
Whoa!
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to gasp.
I'm only on number two.
Motherfucker, okay.
There was a middle school teacher who sponsored Bible studies before the school day, but teachers aren't supposed to sponsor these clubs. And just to make sure these students at middle school could come, he, like, gave them donuts. Come on in, kids. I have food for you to the Bible study that I'm not supposed to be running.
I'm not a biblical scholar, but I'm 85% sure the devil did that to Jesus.
I don't know if it was donuts. It's in the Bible.
I don't know if it was donuts specifically, but it was donut adjacent.
Drink your wine. The Freedom from Religion Foundation, I used to say, put a stop to that middle school donut Bible teacher.
People are going to like that joke.
She spoke out. Sydney did, yeah. Against an amendment in Colorado that was going to treat fetuses as humans. Like, it was a personhood amendment that would have made it really hard to have an abortion. Uh-huh. She wore a shirt, and she encouraged people to wear a shirt that said, like, no, vote no on this issue, even though most of their peers are not old enough to vote. And one of her teachers said to her, God gives babies life, and abortion is murder.
Cool.
Okay. Another teacher, that teacher, along with Sydney's guidance counselor, they had a meeting with her after that incident where they talked about her attitude. Because apparently, Sydney had posted on her Instagram account a picture of her wearing that shirt.
Attitude adjustment.
And it was on a private Instagram page. Like, only her friends should have been able to see it. But this counselor saw it. And the counselor, here's what he says to Sydney.
You're super chill and you have a right to your opinion. Good job, Sydney.
I would hate to ruin your position in student government and ruin, end quote, ruin your grant opportunities.
That is some Frank Underwood shit.
Right? He's threatening her college success.
Holy
because
shit, is he
going to
push her in front of a train later? Uh-huh. Spoilers on season two of
That's
House
okay.
of Cards.
I'm on episode, 2 minutes in of number one.
what
when
do you
she
do all day?
This is what I do all day. She's tried to start a secular student alliance group at the school.
And it went super good and everybody's happy now.
Could not find a faculty sponsor. And when she talked to her, which happens.
This is in Colorado?
It's in Colorado. Her government teacher.
I thought Colorado was like the chillest state.
No.
Really?
I think they have parts
Am
of it
I
that are awesome.
Specifically of Denver.
There are some cities that are awesome, but this is not one of them. Her government teacher actually told her about the SSA group. It didn't line up with community and school values. Oh, yeah. Oh, here. You're going to love this one. The district invited Shelley Donahue to give a talk. Shelley Donahue is a Christian abstinence-only speaker. Sydney went to the administration ahead of time and said, like, here's her reputation. She has no evidence in her talks. She pushes Christianity in her talks. She said that this is going to happen. She wrote an article for the school paper afterwards criticizing what this person said. And by the way, the presentation, full of religion.
Oh,
yeah.
You don't fucking say, huh?
There was another speaker, Chad Williams, who was invited to speak.
Hashtag layoff. Come on.
Another speaker who was going to talk during her senior year. He was going to give a talk, like a motivational thing, because he had written a memoir about being a soldier and why Jesus was great. He was going to talk about drug use.
God, tell me he was a real soldier at least.
He came to her classroom. No. He was a real soldier. He came to her classroom and Sydney asked him about his lack of qualifications for talking about drug use. Because he doesn't know about it. He didn't do it. He's not talking from experience. He's just saying kids don't do drugs, which is fine. But Sydney's like, so what qualifications do you have to tell us about drug use and what it does?
And he's like, do you see this fucking beret?
Her teacher was not happy with this.
You don't say.
I know. When, at this point...
Wait, I wasn't making fun of soldiers.
I thought you were making fun of the name Chad. That's where I was going with that.
When I said the beret thing, I just want to make clear, like, I respect soldiers, but, like, just because you're a soldier doesn't mean you can talk. I just want to make that clear because I don't need the tweets.
Thank you. Around the time all of this stuff was happening, Sydney was profiled in a local student news... in a local newspaper. They were like, look at what the student's doing. She's pushing back against a lot of this stuff. After that happened... Students made death threats against her on Facebook.
You know, high school students always chill.
That's what they do. And her parents told the district about this. Like, you got to do something about this. What did they do? Nothing. And wait. Oh, here's the kicker. Just before spring break of her senior year, she had a 98% in government class. After stuff happens, all these things start happening, it just magically drops to a 70. Her grade just changed. Not based on an exam or a paper she flunked. When she asked for the explanation, the teacher and principal told her the newspaper article about her was part of the reason, allegedly.
Dude, at least fucking lie. Jesus.
Yeah, they also cited, according to the lawsuit, her questioning of authority, particularly religious authority, and they said she was, quote, stirring the pot. That's their explanation for why her grade dropped about 30 points. And when they finally complained enough, her and her parents, they changed her grade to a D instead of an F.
Wait, you said... Oh, Christ, on a fucking...
Yeah. She wrote an article. She worked for the school newspaper. She wrote an article about... She wrote a whole issue, more or less, about religious liberty. Wait, this goes on. I'll finish up. Wrote an article, several articles about religious issues. Yeah. Administrator said... If the faculty sponsor, I'm sorry, I lied. The administrator said to her and her staff, are you sure you want to publish this?
Fuck me.
Like, don't do it. All the members of student council give a speech at graduation. Guess who didn't?
Wait, who?
Sydney.
Sydney!
I know. She qualified for National Honor Society because of her awesome GPA. They didn't accept her application because of her attitude. All right, so I'm going to skip down because there's more. But here's really the thing. She applied to a lot of schools. But some of the applications, like the Common App, require a recommendation from your counselor. 3 days before all of her apps are due, the counselor's recommendation's still not in the system. And then she hassles the counselor about this, like, I need this. And she's almost certain that, they did it. They put something in the system. Kids don't know what it says.
It's just
she assumes it wasn't good because two of the schools she wanted to get into, and she probably would have based on their requirements, she didn't get into them. So all of this goes on, according to Sydney. The lawsuit also notes she suffered anxiety attacks afterwards. It required medical treatment, hospitalization. The backlash led to stress and anxiety. It costs money because she has to go to the hospital for all this stuff.
Sure.
So she's suing. I should say, she is in college now. It's not one of those top choices, but she is in college. There's a group called the Western Colorado Atheists and Freethinkers that tried to raise money for her, which is wonderful. Mm. They raised more than $4,000, which is amazing and incredible, but that's not going to cover...
a drop in the fucking bucket.
The district hasn't said anything about the lawsuit. I mean, they can't because there's a lawsuit, but they're also not saying anything. That's all we're at. She filed the lawsuit this week. I hope she is okay. That's it.
Fuck everything.
Yes.
Ugh.
Do you want to do any happier stories?
Yeah, man. I always want to close with a happier story, but you always hit me with the fucking bummers.
Oh, that's what I have, a bummer. Okay.
You motherfucker.
So, I set you up for that one.
Wait, really? You have a bummer.
I don't have any happy stories. Have you met us?
Did I burn my Mark Wahlberg story too?
You did. All right, driving. Okay, this is almost happy. Women can't drive in Saudi Arabia. Like, that's a rule.
I actually would love to talk about this because I got a push notification about it on my phone yesterday during the day or whenever it happened. And for some reason, my initial reaction, I saw that and my initial reaction was, fuck you. And I know that's a deeply inappropriate reaction to have, but it feels to me so deeply like I'm a dude and I've never beat a woman, so give me praise. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, cool, you're giving a woman basic right.
Because Saudi Arabia basically just said we're going to change the law so that women can drive.
Not to like late 2018.
Yeah, it'll take a little while.
Because, you know, we don't want.
We have to ease into this thing.
It makes me so mad. It makes me so mad that there are people who are like, oh, sexism isn't a thing or racism isn't a thing. And we're like, oh, yeah, there's countries where women are like, oh, super dope. I can't wait to drive in 12 months. It's going to be really great. I can't wait to go out in public without a human male chaperone. Wait, no, that's not necessarily.
Here's why I bring this up.
I just fucking can't sometimes.
I know. So they're changing the law, which is nice, but they have such a long way to go. This is hardly going to make up for much, but yay for them inching in the right direction. There was a Saudi cleric who is the head of the religious edicts department in a part of the country. So he has some power here.
Sure.
Who said, after they announced this, here's his explanation of why this is kind of the
we
wrong
recently
move.
Discovered women are human beings.
Oh, it gets worse. He said, you know, the reason women can't drive, I'll wait till you're finished with that sip, because otherwise that's going everywhere. The reason women shouldn't drive is because they only have half the brain of a man to begin with. But when they're shopping, which is something they would do if they were allowed to drive, it halves yet again, which means now they only have 25% of a man's brain. I mean, he went on, like, what would the traffic department do if a man had half a brain? They wouldn't let him drive. So how can we give it to women when she only has half or a quarter?
You're kidding, right?
I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said.
God, are you sure that's not satire?
If she goes to the market, she loses another half. What is left? A quarter, unquote. That's his argument. Now, the response to that has been total mockery, even among people in the Middle East.
Who is this bro? Who's this bro that said this?
I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, but he's a Saudi Arabian cleric who is the head of religious edicts in the southern province of Saudi Arabia. He's a guy in government. Which I don't understand this because I was trying to make sense of this. Let's suppose for a second he has insider information. Where does this half of a woman's brain go ever? And if she's driving, what does he think happens to 25% of her brain?
I mean, it's...
Where? Why?
It's this idea that women have some sort of special powers that only exist within the home. And that as soon as we, like, go out into the world, we're these, like, innocent... It's such... I'm sorry. I'm not eloquent at all right now.
I know it's not funny.
No.
I did appreciate the pushback, because this guy seemed to be on an island of his own when he was making these comments, because no one was saying this guy's right.
It's like, it's not funny because this person is sincere. And so when we talk about women who face discrimination, this is like the worst of it. Because this guy just said here's the thing. it's a guy who just said a really fucking dumb thing, but good news, he has a lot of sway. Okay. Here's what I'm gonna say.
Yes.
So I have a weird reflex when I'm mad at the world. I argue on Facebook with strangers. It's not great. And it's not great for my productivity. But I have seen time and time again that I keep being accused of making decisions or having opinions based on emotion as opposed to logic.
Okay.
And so I see time and time
again.
They're
saying this to you as a woman?
As a woman. Yes. As a human, but certainly as a woman. And maybe the... And it's this idea that any dude who has an opinion based on, like, he's weighed the facts and he's really done a lot of research and he's very straight and by the book. But, like, I have an opinion that, like, if you're poor, you shouldn't have to die. And they're like, well, you're based on emotion. You're doing whatever. and that's the thing I've always sort of felt in my heart, and I've always sort of felt... like those yuck waves off dudes a lot. So when I hear shit like this, because Hemant, it is 2017, and this bro is not only saying women are half as smart as men, which he's saying women have, I'm sorry, just want to clarify.
If they're shopping, they only have a quarter of a man's brain.
I'm not even there yet.
Oh. They just have half a brain to begin with.
Half a brain to begin with. So, yeah. Like, I had a hemisphrectomy.
Sure.
What's it when you take
half
your
brain off?
Oh, I
know there's a word for it. I just don't even want... I'm more enjoying this one. Hemispherectomy? I don't know if
that
that's actually
like
the term, but okay.
So, this guy with absolutely no sense of irony said that. And nobody... Not nobody, but he wasn't immediately, like... burned at the fucking stake.
Well,
I'm not advocating for him to be burned at the stake. Would I do it personally? Almost certainly. but so
something
not
you
only
should know after he made these comments.
What should I know, Hemant?
After he made these comments, he was suspended by whoever the powers that be above him for an unspecified amount of time. I don't know how long he's suspended from doing his religious work.
Till he's dead. I'm sorry. I'm not calling for this guy's death, but I
no,
would
I know
murder
he
him.
Was suspended. It's for he got some sort of punishment that let him know this ain't okay. It wasn't much, but there you go.
The thing is, when people are saying shit like this on the public sphere to other humans, what the fuck are people saying behind closed doors?
Oh yeah.
What are people saying?
He was probably rounding up here.
Listen, this is probably not going to be a super good podcast because I feel like I've not been really literate about things, but I'm really fucking done. I'm really, really, really fucking done with people second guessing everything I do or say because it's done out of emotion or that like, oh, there's a cute pair of shoes so she can't fucking focus. I'm fucked. Done with it. I'm done with it. This motherfucker, with absolute sincerity, believes women have half a brain or are half as intelligent. Either is not super great. And women around the world are oppressed. And I'm not saying that I have a super shitty life. I have a full-time job now for the first time in a while. These motherfuckers are so fucking threatened by women who have voices and opinions and talents that what they have to resort to like cutting them down. It's just fucking, it's fucking garbage. And it's the height of toxic masculinity. It's this idea that like only,
this
can't.
This podcast brought to you by fucking garbage. They're our sponsor. We say their names many times.
I can't. And again, I know I've said this before. This is probably not going to be a good podcast,
do you think,
but it's been a rough week.
Here's the thing. I feel the same way. I don't usually get that upset about it, and I wonder if that's a bad thing because I've just seen these stories so many times that I'm immune to all of this. I'm like, oh, look, it's another religious leader saying horrible things about women.
No, because
it happens all the time, and it's always awful.
I mean, I think it has a lot to do with, like, whether it feels like it directly affects you. Because I definitely... I've gotten the immune thing of like, oh, cool, another dude has said another shitty thing. But, and maybe, and honestly, I think the last 12 months of my life, I have gotten like radicalized. Like I am an, angry feminist TM, TM, TM. Like I am pissed and I am here to fight for my rights and for the rights of other women. And so I think that's why I feel the way I feel about this. But, like, you've seen me, like, there's definitely been things that you've brought up, and I'm like, I can't get my hackles up about this.
Yeah.
Like, I think you...
I got one of those stories coming up.
That I'm not going to get my hackles up?
I don't know.
Well, regardless, it's easier when I'm like, oh, this is the thing that affects women, and I am a human woman. Like, I feel like if somebody was, like, discriminating pretty quickly, like, fastened against brown people, you'd probably have a little more, like, maybe you wouldn't yell into the microphone like I do. Tell me your thing about the thing.
No, I think you're right. I don't know. It doesn't happen as much. So I don't.
And it's...
To my people.
There's allyship, right? Like, I think you're very empathetic toward what's going on with women and things like that. But I think there is a limit, unless you're really throwing yourself into the good fight. There's a limit to empathy versus sympathy, right? Like, you can be sympathetic and be like, I'm sorry you're going through this. But, like, it's hard to say what it's like to be like, hey, women are dumb. Bye. Like, that's cool. Later, dog. Okay, tell me the thing that I'm not going to get mad about.
I got one last story for you, which is in Florida, there in Boca Raton, there is a park, Sanborn Square. It became like a limited public forum where, because they had a nativity scene last year.
All right.
And I think for several years before that. And an atheist last year, a Satanist, self-described Satanist, said, well, guess what? If you got a nativity scene there, I want to put up a giant pentagram.
Get it, girl.
Went through all of the motions. He got the approval he needed. And they put up a pentagram display last year. It was actually next to a Freedom from Religion Foundation sign that said, keep Saturn in Saturnalia. So it's all in good fun. And the whole point is, well, if you're going to promote Christianity,
it's
you got to do it to everybody.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with that. Last year, the atheist displays got repeatedly vandalized.
Really?
Yeah, like they would show up the next morning and it's all broken. They have to reinstall it. It takes money to buy it again if they needed like a new sign or something. Mm. It happened multiple times.
Zoinks.
And it was bad. So this year, after all that happened, the city council was like, what do we do about this for next year? And what they decided is, at first, they said, we'll just ban all religious displays.
Cool.
Which is fine. As long as you're treating everyone the same, you can do that. But then they said, you know what? Maybe we went too far. Why don't we just allow a nativity scene? That's illegal.
Oh, y'all are so brave.
Then they backed up and they're like, okay, well, we can't just allow a nativity scene. Why don't we have like a menorah there too? And it's like, we know you're doing this to block out the Satanists. That is illegal.
Christ.
So that's not... So finally, they finally said, you know what? Screw it. Just do whatever the hell you all want. So this December, it'll be a free-for-all again.
Yay!
And guess what? The Satanist has put in his application to put up his display again. Here's the point, though. After this made the news that the city council said everyone can do it again, the Satanist has already applied for this, the local news interviewed a local pastor who said right up front, here is my sledgehammer. As soon as that satanic monument goes up, I'm going to knock it down. He said, and I quote, it's evil. It's the essence of evil. I will take the responsibility for taking the sledgehammer and knocking it down.
Christ.
That is
cool,
Pastor
dude.
Mark Boykin of Church of All Nations.
Super
like
bright.
He told the local news, here is the sledgehammer I will use to vandalize someone else's property. And no one...
But
Hammett, made anything
Hammett,
of this?
Do you know he's not a terrorist?
Why not?
He's not brown.
He is not. Just think about this for a second. If anyone else said, this is the giant hammer I'm going to use to hurt the baby Jesus.
Hey, it's a fucking threat.
It is a threat. And nothing that I've seen shows anything has happened to this guy. They're not putting up like security on the monuments. They're not saying this guy's banned from going there.
He's a white guy. No white guys have ever committed terrorist attacks.
And again, this has precedence. Last year, the display was attacked many times. And this time you have a guy saying, yep, if something happens, you know who to call because it was probably me.
Yeah, whereas people are like,
this is how good it is to be a Christian. You can brag about how you're going to ruin someone else's display, and you can do that knowing nothing bad is going to happen to you.
Meanwhile, somebody's like, those two dudes are speaking Urdu, like, they're definitely going to murder me tonight. Like, it's just, I don't know, Hemant, maybe I've had a rough week, or maybe this is just, like, an off episode, but I feel like this has not been super fun because I just... hate.
One day there'll be happier news, and then we'll talk about all the unicorns.
In the future.
I can wrap up.
Yeah, let's wrap up.
Hey, if you are... we're recording this on September
29th.
But if you are around in Philadelphia in a couple of weeks, I'll be speaking at PastaCon on October 14th. And I will be in Boston on October 29th at the Humanist Hub. All that information will be on the podcast notes. Come check it out.
I'm going to be... in my house in Aurora on both of those dates.
Door is open. Heaven?
Not open.
Open.
You can tweet me and say, hey, and I'll probably feel good about it and show it to my husband. my Etsy shop is Bitches Get Stitched On. Use offer code Atheist for, I think, 50% discount.
We should one day figure this out.
We'll see.
She's Blueberry at Twitter. Yeah. I'm at Hemant Mehta. And again, Queer Disbelief, it's up there fundraising for about 2 to 3 more weeks. Please chip in. I'll really appreciate it.
Email us.
I will love you forever.
Email us at friendlyatheistpodcast@gmail.com. Go on iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, complain about my voice. That's fine. I get it a lot. I read all the reviews. I sure do. Nobody likes me. It's not true.
I'll stop writing those reviews.
You motherfucker. I'm sorry if this wasn't like a particularly fun episode. It's just been...
If y'all make there be more happy news, we would have a happier podcast.
Y'all, could you be better? Hey, listeners, there's 12 of you. Could you do better? I believe in y'all.
Thanks. We'll see you next week.
Bye.